I just wanted to talk a little about this project that we started some months ago in the summer of 2007, so almost 1 year ago. And first I will talk about the motivations for the launching of this project, and then I will quickly expose where we are now and some of our development process. For example, we practice something that could be called continuously integration with maintaining some quality metrics and the rest. So, first, the motivations for launching this project. The goal of this project is to write and develop a good free PDF library. So a good library, a quality one, a free one, a complete and portable PDF library. For what? To interpret PDF files, PDF documents. In a wide sense, in the wide sense of the term. Because we will see that, we have now in the physical world some PDF libraries, free ones, that works. I mean, you can get a PDF document, open the XPDF, for example, or some front-end to Leafpoper, and you are able to see the PDF document. But right now, the PDF specification, the PDF 1.7 from Adobe, and the new ISO standard, which is the ISO 32000, allow you to, for example, to have forms in your documents, in your PDF documents. And for example, the specification allows you to extract the data of the forms in the PDF files as XML data. But not only that, it allows you to get the information from the forms in XML data, as XML data, and to send that XML to some server to perform some transformation to generate again another PDF with a form inside with the transformed data, and for example to merge that PDF with modified data with your own PDF with the original data. So business processes and things like that with the forms, for example. The motivations. Some time ago I was maintaining the GB program, the GNU GB program. That is a viewer. This is a simple, acute and fast viewer for the PostScript and PDF files. The GP front-end, because it is a graphical front-end like KeyPDF or GGP, use GoScript as it engine to get the documents rendered in a window. GoScript, the GoScript program, is a PostScript interpreter and has also a PDF interpreter writing in PostScript. So, when I was maintaining GP, I got a lot of bug reports from users related to, I am trying to display this PDF document and I am having problems displaying it. Well, as of course, my answer was, it's not a problem of the viewer, but it is a problem of, in this case, GoScript. The software that is is rendering the page in the screen. But I got a lot of bug reports for PDF display rendering, and I think, what is the real state of the PDF interpreter by GoScript? So I got GoScript, the GoScript code, and I took a look to the PDF interpreter. As I say, the PDF interpreter shipped by GoScript is waiting in PostScript. So, but it is almost complete. More or less, with GoScript, you should be able to display most of the PDF documents conforming to the 1.5 version of the specification. The latest one from Adobe is 1.7. But for example, you won't be able to display forms, or you won't be able to fill in forms. you won't also be able to display movies, because it is possible in the last specification of the PDF format, it's possible to embed movies in your documents. It's also possible to embed 3D, what is the word? Scenes. Mm-hmm. Scenes. And you can rotate it, and you can navigate in a 3D world. Yeah, it's crap. but it's in the specification of in the PDF specification. So, after looking at all this crap that the user was expected to be working in GNU Linux, I said, okay, I think that we should get some free implementation of the PDF library. Of the PDF specification, including all this crap. So I looked at, for example, the XPDF project at that time. And well, how is this? It's could be easy to get movies embedded in PDF documents using XPDF. And well, the conclusion was that it is not easy at all. Because well, a lot of technical reasons in the implementation of XPDF. There is a library that is Poppler, the name is Liv Poppler, that is a fork of the XPDF code base. And that is a commonly used library today to render PDF contents. Liv Poppler has the same problems as XPDF. It's an architectural one. What they found is that Poppler or the XPDF engine, it's the same software, is a block. It's a block that gives you an API for clients and well, get the documents and render it. But it's a block. And when I look at the library, and the source of this library, looking for what could be possible to implement annotations, forms, and all the rest missing capabilities at the time, I think, okay, it's very difficult to do that. For me, at least, okay, I may be an asshole, but it was difficult. Because, for example, Poppler has a public API, but it's not clear what is part of the public API and what is part of the internal API. In fact, right now, there are people, for example, we don't have form support, a kind of form support in Poppler. It was the result of a Google Summer of Code project of the next of the last summer. That code makes use of internal API of Poppler to be able to implement the forms. It works, they say. Another example, you know that there is a free software graphical application for PDF manipulation that is PDF Edit. The people using this program, and they have a lot of feedback about this the PDF issue, the people using this format usually complain that the program used to crash every 5 minutes or 6 minutes. No? Why? It is not like the people writing this application, they to write bad code. No. But what they do is this, something like that. They insert some alien code into the Poppler library here to be able to access, for example, the data structures here that are inside the library that conform to those. And it's unstable, and it has a lot of problems. Okay? And the application is here. And this is not a surprise, because the Poppler code base was not intended to be used as a library for PDF manipulations. Manipulation. We have also free software libraries specifically oriented to manipulate PDF files. For example, the Panda API and others. But now, with that software, we have the opposite problem. It is software that is designed from scratch to manipulate PDF files. But it's difficult to get PDF rendered from that those implementations. We have the opposite problem. The XPDF or Poplar code base was intended, designed from scratch to be able to render PDF files. And the existing libraries that allow you to manipulate PDF files are designed from scratch for PDF manipulations, but not rendering. Okay, so after seeing all of this, my thing was okay. How it is done in Acrobat, in Adobe Acrobat, for example? Because our object could be to be able to provide an Acrobat clone, a free one. So how they do that work? And I found this. Oh, well, it's small. I can repeat it there. What it found was this architecture in the PDF library by Adobe. It is proprietary, of course, but what a surprise is this is the same architecture that we are using to make the new PDF library, of course. So it's not a block anymore. It's not a block anymore. What Adobe is implementing in the software development kit, so the PDF library from Adobe, is a library composed by several layers. Each layer is exporting a public API that is used by the layer immediately above it and by the client. So the client is running. For example, Acrobat. So there are the different layers implement different things in different levels of abstractions. For example, a PDF file is composed by it's a collection of a syntactic entity that is called an object. Okay. This library is able to manage a PDF document as a collection of objects, for example. So, if you want to create an application able to manipulate a PDF file in a low-level way, you can use this library, and you are not interested in. Some collection of objects have a specific structure and conform to a document, to a PDF document. So again, this layer provides a public API to manage a PDF file as a document, with pages, with footnotes, with annotations, with movies, with everything else. And the last layer, the page one, is about the content of the page. Paragraph, text, image, the rest. So it is not a simple architecture anymore. So we are using the same architecture to make our library. I think I agree with Adobe in that it's not easy at all to write an Acrobat-like program in top of a simple library such as Poplar or some of the other ones, the blocked ones. You need a complex library. And that is what are we doing? We are cloning the architecture of the library. So, that is the reason we decided to start a new project to support PDF. There was a lot of people the last year that they didn't understand our reasons for starting a new implementation. So So it is the usual in this world. You get insults and all the rest. Your moral, the new project is always making a stupid forks and blah, 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 blah. But we have our technical reasons for this. Okay? So, we decided to start a new project, that is this one, with two objectives. The first one, to write the library, the GNU PDF library, that is this. Of course, any other free software project will be able to use this library to manipulate PDF files in several levels of abstraction. For example, we have a new package, this leaf extractor. Do you know that package? Leaf extractor? Well, it's a little library that allows you to get meta information from a lot of different file formats. For example, I don't know what is it used for, but for I suppose if you're writing a file browser, for example, you may want to see what kind of object is in this file and some basic properties from that object. For example, to be able to show a preview of a PDF document or something like that. Okay, Christian Brockhoff, that is the maintainer of Leaf Extractor, is extremely interested in this part of the library. That includes the parser, for example. So he will be able to use this in Leaf Extractor. Or any other PDF viewer or editor. The second work package will be to create an Acrobat plugin in top of the library. Given that we have the library to write the user application, should not be a problem anymore. And using a single library, you will have access to good rendering capabilities and to good manipulation capabilities. Like Acrobat does, but not in a good way, I think. So the project is about this. These two sub-projects, the library and the juggler. We call it the juggler, but I don't like the name, in fact. But we will need to find another name. But if the library is vaporware now, the second one is more than vaporware. You know, it's in the future. Okay, another important fact about the project. We have a third sub-project. That is the PDF knowledge database. As we are writing the library, we are generating free documentation about many aspects of the PDF format. You may say, okay, but you can get the PDF specification from Adobe, from the web page for free. And you can get a copy of the ISO standard if you pay 400 euros to ISO. Not for free, but you can do it. Yes. But that specification have a strong copyright terms. You are not allowed, for example, to modify the Adobe document. So we are collecting in a media wiki format that is easily manipulable and expandable a lot of knowledge about the format of the PDF format here. It's like a sub-project, but we hope it to be useful in the future. So, these are the motivation and the goals of the project. For example, you may be thinking now, okay, but I don't need all of this. I don't need to see videos or to see pictures in the picture, yes, please. But 3D ones in a PDF file. But for example, there is a project in Spain, Nature. The project about justice.
Justice?
Yeah, the justice project in Spain. There was a proposal in Spain for the justice public institutions to be able to embed all the contents from
I understand.
What is the English word? There is a jud and the
justice.
Yeah. in a single PDF file.
Yeah.
With the videos, with transcriptions, with the songs.
The audio
transcription of all the session in a big PDF file. For example. So there is
a DVD.
In a DVD with DVD, containing only a single big, really big PDF file. So there are people, public institutions, government, and they are using the advanced capabilities of the PDF specification.
Yeah.
So it's okay. We are not used to watch the videos embedded in PDF file, but there is people that need that capability. So we should provide a free implementation for that. So we started the project, and right now, of course, we are working in the library. Well, for this project, we are being extremely careful about the development process and the quality of the code that we make for two reasons. One of the reasons is that we hope to be able to get paid developers for this project. And that might mean to get this project into a company, for example. So we are generating a lot of documentation and a documented development process to be able to get the development of the library into some quality system in a company, for example. We have hopes in that there can be a lot of companies interested in that this project finish. And the second reason is that we are expecting to get the library qualified, certified, as for example PDFA compliant or ISO 32000 compliant. And for that, you should provide some documentation and some quality proofs about the implementation. So, we have for example a roadmap, and we have the definition on some development procedures for the library. To get all the library right, that is composed by several layers, we are following this process. We first did an architectural design of the overall library from a high abstraction, a high level perspective. And then we are now making the development of the layers. Then we are going to make system testing, designing the system test, implementing the test, executing the test, and the development of the library will be done. For each layer, we are using a similar approach. This is not testing driving development, but near. First, architectural design, the development of the modules, and the subsystem testing instead of system testing. For example, we have done the architectural design of the base layer, actually. Okay, we are in the low part of the picture. But. And in a similar way, for each library module, each layer is composed by several modules. We are first designing the API of the module, the public one, because before writing any code. Then, well, this is play the roles of use case or requirements, in fact. Then we make an architectural design for each module, and then we start a parallel process. In one side, the design of the development task, and then the implementation of the module to write the code. And in parallel, the design of the unit test for the module, for the function conforming the module, and implementation of the unit test. When we reach this point, the module is finished. Oh, since we are designing the API to use it as the requirements for each module, we can also generate the reference manual in this stage, for example. That is perfect. a good contributor. So, this is the current the status of this roadmap currently for each module. Well, we have a detailed description of the architecture of the library. In the base layer, that is the layer that we are working on right now, for example, just to see an example. For example, this is the composition of the base layer. You have here the operating system and all the library layers, or directly the client application. So we identified that we need to implement all these modules in the base layer. It's similar. The library from Adobe implements some of them, also. I am basing the design in the design from Adobe. I have access to a documentation of an extended document. Close the. yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Well, no, later.
Yeah.
Off topic. Well. We have some inspiration of the design of the library from Adobe. Okay, so it's composed by several modules. So this is the documentation for the base layer. We have also the relation between all the modules. For example, the text module, we have also a documentation for the design and the architecture of that module, with long descriptions. What we need to do. For the file system module, the same. So, in the end, we are using a lot of time to document the design and the development process of this library. Also, well, we have, of course, a management of for tasks, for development tasks. We have a project plan. It's not a very good one, but we have one at least. This something, and we have a pre-designed flow of tasks with several stages and all the rest. Well, this is a description of the task. And also we have a quality section in the development of this library. For example, we are generating some reports, these ones, nightly, from the head of the CBS in the track. And for example, well, we are interested in knowing some quality of the library. For example, this one is the cyclomatic report of the library. We have here a legend that associates the Mach number, the cyclomatic complexity, with subjective how to interpret the numbers. So, for example, we have here red functions. We don't like red functions at all, and we have also yellow functions. We don't like yellow functions, but you should live with yellow functions. And green functions, that are the functions that I like most. For example, with the level of complexity. This report is generated each night, nightly. And if a developer makes a commit in the CBS repository, in the code base, tomorrow I know that if I should send an email to the mailing list asking to rewrite some function or not.
What program do you use to generate mailing list?
Oh, all the people ask the same. It's a typical question. No, there is a command line application that is PMCK. It's in most of the distributions. And then we wrote some scripts to generate this report in both HTML or MediaWiki format. We have the webpage in MediaWiki format. It's available in the repository. Also, we have an API consistency report. We have a lot of red functions there. This report tells us the functions that are documented in the reference manual and the functions that are implemented in the code base. This may seem to be stupid to have a report like that, but it is not. Because we are generating the documentation, the text info documentation of the reference manual before to write the code. So it's important for us to know if we are implementing all the functions that we are documenting in the reference manual. If not, we have a problem. In fact, we have a problem. Okay, we have green functions too. Of course, we have a test suite, and we run the test suite every night to find how is the code base, and we generate, of course, the typical report for unit testing. It's good. We don't have failing tests.
Is there an official test suite from Adobe or something like that?
No.
You can't say we're certified as compliant to
1.5. Yes, but that will be later in the development. Right now we are in the base layer. It's generic facilities. But yes, also we will have a little problem is to get interesting PDF file. So please, for all of you, if you find interesting PDF files, for example, a RAID PDF file, a PDF file containing a lot of image, a PDF containing a video, I want to make a big collection of interesting PDF files for testing. Well, we have also a code coverage report generated by ELCOD. That is the usual one. And, okay, we will maybe insert more reports, more quality reports there, as we continue the implementation of the library. Of course, we have documentation. Since we are writing the reference manual before to make the implementation, to write the code, we have a very good reference manual. In fact, we have a very good reference manual, and I don't know how good code behind it. But we have a complete reference manual as we make the development of the library. We have also a test specification document. In the development process, you have seen that we first design the unit test for a module and then we implement it. It's like to design the API for a module and then make the implementation of the module the same. So we have also a document with all the designed unit tests. So we would like also to have sponsors, but we don't have any sponsors yet. Well, of course, the FreeSoftware Foundation. And here comes the bounties issue. You know that there are, as far as I know, two new packages that have specific donations in the free software donation page. Did you notice that? It's GNOSTEP, our official desktop, and the GNU PDF project. So we are getting money from donations to the Free Software Foundation to be able to hire developers to do this. The problem is that we are not getting enough money to be able to hire a developer in full time, for example. Because, of course, you cannot hire a developer in full time if you have, I don't know, $3,000, for example. So that is the reason I am thinking now in setting up a bounties program for the project, with a lot of problems. But it could be useful to be able to launch tasks for I don't know, 300 euros, 200 euros, something like that. A lot of money. I think that in this specific case, since we are generating good requirements with the API, publishing the APIs and not the rest, I think that we could be able to make a successful bounties program. But I'm not sure about that. So one of my ideas for this meeting was to get ideas about how to get a successful voting bounties program. And maybe to extend that bounties program not only for the PDF project, but also for other projects needing development effort. And well, some remarks. Of course, it is GPL, this library is GPL version 3 or any later version. And we got this project appointed as a high priority project by the Flexible Foundation. There are also license issues with the existing free software implementations. For example, the XPDF code base is GPL 2 only. And, you know, well, of course, Poplar is also GPL 2 only. But you know that the author of XPDF has some very special ideas about some things. For example, the people from KDE started the fork of started Git Poplar from XPDF because they asked the XPDF author to make a library from the code base of XPDF. And the reason that the author of XPDF gave to the KDE developers was that he don't want to make a library with his code base, but just because it is GPL, it has GPL license. And he say, oh, so if I distribute a library using a GPL license, systematically all the people will violate my license. I don't understand that reason, but he has a strong feelings about that. So that is the reason of the Leaf Poplar existence. LibPoplar is GPL 2 only, and the LibPoplar developers cannot upgrade the license. And I don't have the hope that the author of XPDF will upgrade the license in the XPDF code base. But who knows? So there are also license issues in the decision of starting a new project from scratch. So this is how the project is. I'm finished.
Do you have any questions?
Is that like is your library going to be built on any other libraries? Standard C library?
Yes.
Are you using some other libraries below?
Sorry?
Are you using any other libraries other than just the standard C?
Oh, of course, yes. Yes. We are using, for example, libraries to implement some of the PDF filters. Well, in a PDF file you can have some of the contents in the file compressed using some algorithms. For example, the CETA lib algorithm, and what we of course are using the standard library.
Yeah, I was thinking about more general things like the glib, gobject libraries, just manipulating objects and things like that.
No, it's plain C implementation.
Anyone else? What are you using to render?
Well, right now we are not using anything to render.
How will it be rendered?
We have been talking with the Cairo people. With the Cairo people. And of course we are not to write a graphics library because we don't need to write one. And we don't like to write one, but anyway, we don't need to do it. So, of course we are going to find a suitable graphics library to use. And Cairo seems to be a good one. And the Cairo people is interested also in getting the GNU PDF library, this is a very flexible one, to improve its PDF generation capabilities. So both projects will have something to gain from the other. Yeah, Cairo is a good candidate. But the render process is in this layer, so it is a long way. We still have a long way to that point.
So if the rendering is in the page load, can you create a PDF file with the bottom three and just not have to depend on any rendering things? So could I spit out a PDF file from my application without having to depend on Cairo?
Yes.
If that was my.
So you want to create a document, a PDF document?
Yes.
Yes, and?
So I just need to use the bottom three layers, is that right?
This one?
Yes.
Yes. I don't understand the question.
So you can have a command line PDF application.
Oh, yes. Yes, in fact, we are writing command line little utilities that are shipped with the library. Yes, why not?
Yes.
In fact, we are also planning to have a guide working with the library, for example, to be used to use guide or any other high-level programming language to generate or manipulate PDF files. Yes.
Can I just come back to Byron? Why am I using any lower level libraries for things like memory allocation, lists?
Oh, for the same reason that Adobe is not doing that. Did you see the modules in the base layer? Memory allocation and generic facilities. For example, we would like this library to be used in a printer. To implement a printer that is able to understand PDF, or there are a lot of little devices like ebook readers, and so yes, that is the reason. Do not have a lot of dependence from the operating system to be able to get the library port to embedded devices.
Of
course, yes.
There are a lot of libraries that are trying to be ported.
Yes. But anyway, it is not a big deal to have it's not a complex memory management, for example. We rely in the implementation of the operating system for memory allocation or memory allocation.
Yeah, that's enough.
Presumably Adobe are continuing to develop a PDF standard. Are you going to be able to sort of feed back into that and participate in that, or?
In the PDF standard?
Yes.
Yes. In fact, we are in the process of getting some new friend person in the technical committee in ISO. Anyway, in theory, now will be the ISO committee the one that will direct the development of the standard. But in practice, that means that Adobe will continue directing the development of the standard, because in the technical committee of the ISO for ISO 32000, the biggest group is the American one, the North American one. And most of the people in the North American group, in the technical committee, are from Adobe, of course. But yeah, we are in the process of getting some person in the technical committee.
Okay, so no more questions? We should thank Jose.
Okay.